apologize for the delay. We call the meeting of Senate Transportation to order at 1:36. And with me today, Vice Chair Senator Fred Dyson, also Senator Faircloth, Senator French, Senator Bishop, and myself, Chair Senator Egan, and staff, Dana Owen, staff to Senate Transportation, Secretary Ann Crickleberg, and teleconference operators Claire Gross. And we thank you for helping us out today, and again, apologize for the lateness of the start, but this same bill was being presented in House Transportation. Bill is Senate Bill 211, State Land and Materials, and this is the only committee of referral. Dana Owen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Dana Owen, staff to the Senate Transportation Committee. We had been approached by the Department of Transportation, and more or less jointly with the Department of Natural Resources to introduce a bill that would clarify what they saw as some ambiguity in Titles 2, 19, and 35, and especially, I assume, also Title 38. And the first two, the first three, Titles 2, 19, and 35, put DOT in charge of state land for transportation infrastructure and for public facilities. Title 38, of course, puts DNR in charge of state lands generally. This bill intends to clear up perceived conflicts between the different titles and intends to improve efficiency without sacrificing any public input. Senate Bill 211 also clarifies the rules for disposals when DOT no longer needs a piece of land for public purposes. And I apologize to the committee, having been absent for a good deal of time for medical reasons. I want to thank Jesse Keel in our office for shepherding this bill through. And also, I would like to forego any questions from me because we have people from the departments here, from the Department of Law and the Department of Transportation, who will be much better able to answer specific questions than I can at this point. I wanted to also point out to you, though, that we're attempting to get a map. This map, which I've passed out to each of you, is actually the map referenced in the Safety Lieu Act of 2005, which details all of the parcels that are in that are affected by Section 16 of this bill. And what we're attempting to do is get you an electronic copy that you can blow up on your screen for a more accurate look at where these parcels exactly are. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I believe we have John Bennett from the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities and Sean Lynch with the Department of Law, who can present the bill to you.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Bennett. You're more than welcome to come forward, state your name for the record, please, and provide your testimony.
Good afternoon. My name is John Bennett. I'm the Northern Region DOT Right-of-Way Chief. The bill we are presenting today, the primary purpose and effect of this bill is essentially it changes the relationship between Department of Transportation and Department of Natural Resources with respect to the acquisition, management, and disposal of lands that we require for our airports, highways, and public facilities. When you consider the fact that, say, 30% of the land in Alaska is owned by the state of Alaska, you can imagine that we run into state of Alaska lands and we need to acquire them for our public facilities, and we need the materials to build these projects also. So the bill repeats itself three times because we're essentially applying the same three primary provisions to all of our authorities. So essentially the first major provision, what it does is it clarifies that the Department of Transportation holds the primary authority to manage the surface estate of its facilities. Now, this primarily relates to the existing rights-of-way we have for our highways, the existing airports, the existing public facilities, and it clears up an ambiguity in the law that brought into question sometimes who had the lead management role of Alaska lands. Was it Department of Natural Resources or was it Department of Transportation? The second primary provision of the bill is that we have three separate statutes across our authorities that deal with the disposal of lands that have been deemed excess to the department's needs. But they all had slightly different language, and in some cases they resulted in some unintended consequences. So this bill will provide this uniform language across all of these authorities. And the combination of these two first provisions, the disposals and the one that says it vests surface estate in DOT, will actually go to solve some problems that adjoining landowners have had when they have accidentally encroached into the state's right-of-way. And for example, we've had situations where, you know, some structure was built in a highway easement that DOT manages and owns, and then we said we can resolve this by vacating the easement, only to find out that DNR owns the underlying fee estate, and so effectively all we've done is transfer the problem to DNR, and sometimes their rules make it difficult to resolve. So with these two provisions, we would essentially DOT would be able to unilaterally deal with resolving these types of problems. The third primary the third general provision here that's very important goes to the acquisition of new lands from DNR for airports, highways, and public facilities. And essentially what we're doing is we're modeling this on our existing procedure with federal highways for the acquisition of federal lands, that is BLM lands and Forest Service lands for our federal aid highway projects. Now what they do with that process is Federal Highways has the authority to appropriate BLM and Forest Service lands that are necessary for these projects. We define what's necessary. Federal Highways goes to the agency and says, you have 4 months to give us your comments, and if you haven't made the transfer in that time, we will execute the deed to the state of Alaska. So it's a very efficient process for the acquisition of lands for these public infrastructure projects, and that's what we're trying to adopt for our relationship between DNR and DOT. Beyond that, there's another DNR provision in that we also need to acquire materials for virtually all of our projects. I'm talking sand and gravel type of materials. It's kind of a complex process now in which the state DOT contracts with the state DNR to acquire these materials. We pay for the materials. We enter into contracts that have limited terms and limited quantities that we're allowed to extract for the projects. The result of that is that they're constantly lapsing. We're constantly having to go back and get reauthorizations to extend the term, to extend the quantity, and it can have a tendency to delay our projects. And so we believe that this new provision that will essentially recognize that these state-owned materials are appropriate to be used on state-owned infrastructure by a state-owned entity like DOT. So we believe that this makes sense to allow DOT to access these state material sites without going through the contracting process. Those are primarily the DNR provisions of the bill, but we do have a few others that are of interest. And one of them has to do with the Alaska Railroad. From time to time, primarily on large CIP projects, capital improvement projects, DOT needs to acquire a piece of land that the Alaska Railroad owns, and we need to acquire it in fee interest to this property. The way the statutes for the Alaska Railroad Corporation are structured now, DOT can go ahead and appraise the property, we can negotiate for the property, but the railroad cannot execute the deed transferring title without legislative approval. And so we believe this to be an unintended consequence in that while the legislature may have wanted to have controls on the railroad divesting its interest, we don't believe that they intended to delay public projects by having a transfer to DOT fall under the same umbrella. So this provision would essentially just allow this transfer of title from the railroad to DOT for public transportation projects and would not require approval of the legislature for that transfer. After that, we have a section that transfers the Happy Valley and Franklin Bluffs camps, the old Trans-Alaska Pipeline camps, property in those areas from DNR to DOT. DOT applied 20 years ago for these sites in recognition that we needed them for the maintenance and operations of the Dalton Highway and in anticipation of enhanced resource development and someday the construction of a gas pipeline. We have been unsuccessful in obtaining the transfer of these lands because they were also selected by North Slope Borough as a part of the Municipal Entitlement Program. But because of the competing interests, neither party has received title to the lands. Our point of view is that these are public lands necessary for public purposes, and that that should take first place over a competing municipal entitlement. In reviewing some maps of the area that was initially selected for municipal entitlements and the area that we have outlined as necessary to incorporate our airstrip, camp pad, and material sites, I estimate that there's between a third to a half of the municipal entitlement lands remaining available for transfer to the North Slope Borough. So it's not as if we are attempting to take all of their entitlement away. But this will expedite the transfer to DOT and expedite the development of the sites for maintenance purposes. The final provision here that is of interest has to do with reciprocal easements between the State of Alaska and the Forest Service in Southeast, and I'd like to defer to Mr. Sean Lynch for that.
Thank you, Mr. Bennett. Mr. Lynch, go ahead.
Thank you, Senator Egan.
Nice to have you.
Name and Sean record, Lynch, please. I'm with the Department of Law. I help out DOT. The reciprocal easements in the two federal highway bills back in Safety Lou, there was a provision of federal law, that's section 4407 of Safety Lou, that enacts a reciprocal exchange of easements. The State of Alaska received 19 highway and utility easements across the Tongass National Forest, and in exchange, the federal government received its just over 100 submerged land easements for log transfer facilities, to their recreational sites and trailheads. The state and the federal government have since exchanged easements, but because of DNR's present regulations, the state easements that were transferred to the federal government have a 55-year limitation. So the Forest Service has placed a 55-year limitation on the state's highway and utility easements. The state is preparing to develop, actually a few of these are getting close to construction, and what the Forest Service has told us, has assured us, that they will, if we remove the 55-year limitation on their state easement over submerged lands, they will, in exchange, remove the 55-year easement that is placed on our highway and utility easements across the national forest. So Section 16, the provision, would allow the Commissioner of Natural Resources to remove the 55-year limitation upon his finding that it's in the best interest of the state.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Lynch. Questions from the committee for either Mr. Bennett or Mr. Lynch? Senator Dyson.
I'm kind of astonished. I mean, it seems like this bill does some amazing and very different things. And we all want to remove the barriers that are put you all in silos and can't work together on stuff. If you were a critic of what it appears we're doing here, what are the questions you anticipate critics could raise about this?
Through the chair, Senator Dyson, the one provision that had me most concerned was the provision to transfer the Happy Valley and Franklin Bluffs sites to Department of Transportation. Even though I believe strongly that it is most important that they be reserved for public purposes, clearly we're a competing party for those lands with the North Slope Borough. And so, I would expect some concern on their part that they're not getting the lands that they believe that they are entitled to. They selected good sites. They are optimally placed.
No, I got that. I understand it. What else?
Well, I think the focus of the bill is on the relationship with DNR. And from my perspective, after 29 years with the department, I have a hard time understanding why we have such a complex process that allows the state to use state-owned property for state-owned facilities.
Yeah, no, I got that. I'm okay. Talking about what are our critics going to say, yours and ours?
I'm not sure where we would get criticism for creating an efficiency. I'm having a hard time visualizing.
Yeah, let me help you.
Okay.
So folks think of DNR as a steward of a lot of public land and public resources. Here we are transferring land to the organization that builds things and so on and so forth. So they're perhaps taking land from a more protected source and put it in the hands of the exploiters. And that it is a backdoor way to get at mining a lot of gravel and so on and so forth. And the public process gets missed. And then who knows that feds will reciprocate on the 55-year deal. Sounds like they should, you know, but so, you know, that's a problem. Does these things that happen, somebody will think that their ox got gored, and where was the public hearing process, and is there anything that in streamlining, which I'm all in favor of, doing, but in streamlining it, you've cut the public out of the deal so they don't get to weigh in. And then there's these inholdings, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And I'm sure there'll be somebody that thinks their ox got stabbed as well and so on. So I'm just brainstorming, but this is fairly new. And does the North Salt Borough know we're having this conversation and running this bill through?
Through the chair, Senator Dyson, I am not aware that they are familiar with this bill.
Yeah, and that would seem to me that they, as you said, they'd be interested. Anyways, I'm less informed and more wary than they perhaps should be.
Thank you.
If I could address Mr. Dyson's the questions or concerns. And I can tell you that the reason that this bill got such a late introduction is because we really worked through with DNR every possible angle. You wouldn't believe the hypotheticals we've worked through. And you're right that DNR is at its heart, is a conservation agency. Its decision to do nothing is actually its safe decision. And so it has a dual development and conservation. But we looked at, for one, this bill only addresses the transfer of public domain land, so the general multipurpose lands of the state of Alaska. DNR also manages school lands, mental health trust lands, preserves, critical habitat areas, all of these different, which are single-purpose government sites. None of those lands are affected. None of them could be transferred under this bill. This bill is only would transfer the multiple use sites. Most of DOT's work, the lion's share, over 90% of its work, is modifying existing facilities, lengthening airports, straightening curves on roads, that type of stuff. So most of these acquisitions are small strips of land, and including most of its disposals. When they're done lengthening an airport and need to dispose the other end of the airport, these are small parcel disposals.
Okay. I get it.
But in the large projects, and that's where I think people may have a concern, well, what about the road to Nome? Do we give away the right-of-way to Nome? In large parcels, this act, and I can go through the provisions, but it only exempts DOT from the Alaska Lands Act, 3805 provisions. DNR does its land classifications through 3804. This doesn't exempt DOT from land classification. So any type of new designation, the road to Nome is a great example. If DOT wants to plan a road to Nome, it has to go through that land classification with DNR. So there's still an entire public process in that classification to set up that right-of-way. Once it's classified and DOT has a project, and really DOT only constructs projects that the legislature has funded. So once the legislature has actually funded construction, that's when they can go through this acquisition process. And lastly, the even the exchange of land under this bill, the four-month exchange does have a public notice provision. It becomes a DOT engineering decision. The DOT engineers basically set the center line of airports or highways and the right-of-way parameters, either 100 foot, 150 feet, 300 feet, is set by regulation or law. And so that the right-of-way necessary on either side of the center line is a DOT decision. DOT posts that on the public notice system like any other state decision. It's really open. It's open to challenge. So these aren't the secret, no public process deals. This is it, by terms of the act. This is all a very public process.
Senator Dyson, follow up.
Not now.
Sir, Mr. Chair.
I spent two glorious stints at Happy Valley during pipeline construction in 1975. I never want to go back to Happy Valley anymore. Senator French.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maybe I can ask Senator Dyson's question a different way, which is, does this bill in any way change any permitting requirements for activities to take place on the land that's involved?
Through the chair, Senator French, permitting requirements, you mean in the case of the Happy Valley and Franklin Bluff transfers where there are existing leases and permits?
I guess I mean more globally. This bill, as I wrote down the five things you said, it does. It disposes of excess land. It gives you primary authority to manage surface property estate, railroad cleanup, acquisition of new sites. There's land transfers envisioned by the bill.
Let me clarify, if I may.
Senator,
you're clarifying mine. Permitting for DNR is pretty tough. The land and the responsibility comes DOT. Is there a reduced permitting process? We're a heck of a team.
We are a heck of a team, Senator Dyson. I agree to that. I vote yes in favor of that. But, I think... You know, there's a bill moving through the legislature that became very controversial because it had a huge amount of effects on permitting and so forth. And so I think we're sensitive to that. And we're just asking, is this sort of a plain vanilla bill or there's some lurking issues? And let me just focus on permitting.
Through the chair, Senator French, it's different. All the permitting regulations and statutes that DNR operates under once they transfer the land won't apply to DOT because DOT has its own authorities for permitting within highways and airports and such. And in many respects, or in most respects, those permitting constraints are through the federal funding agencies. Although we may have some regulations and statutes say what we can allow the public to do or not to do on these facilities, we're really beholden to the federal funding agencies, and they really crack the whip as far as making sure that we are compliant with their rules as long as we want to continue to receive federal funds. We do have permitting processes available for those for different types of things. In highways, it may be signs, driveways, certain encroachments. In airports, clearly we have a leasing program that we can allow people under. We do have permitting processes. They are just different.
And Senator Egan, could I follow up on the answer? And so what Mr. Bennett just explained to you was the DOT permitting. And so this is, uses of the rights of way. But the DNR permitting, actually it's actually addressed directly in I'll just bring it to Section 1, which repeats itself. This is the airport provision, repeats itself again in highways and public facilities, where Sections 6 and 9. But the second sentence, it starts on page 2, line 3. It clearly says DNR retains its entire permitting authority, its entire array of permitting powers upon the terms and conditions of DOT. So if there is a mineral exploration or an oil and gas exploration lease and it goes for an entire track that includes part of the airport, that permit, of course, is going to stay. Nothing in this act would change that permit. But if they wanted to drill at the end of the runway, under this act, now DOT has primary authority for the end of the runway, so any DOT height restrictions for operations of the airport, DOT would condition the permit in that way. But all permitting powers from DNR remain the same. There's no effect.
Thank you. Senator Vetch, follow up.
Thank you.
Senator Bishop. Oh, just briefly, I see Joanna Bells is online on off-net. Ms. Bells, I'm assuming that we're standing by to testify on Senate Bill 178, and we have delayed that bill to the next meeting of transportation. I apologize. I just saw that you were on off-net. So, Ms. Bells, if you don't want to testify on this state land and materials bill, you're more than welcome to go.
All right. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Great. Thank you, Joanna. Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to come back to the permitting thing just a minute for both of my colleagues, and you touched on it earlier, Mr. Bennett. That from a permitting standpoint, you're going to, and you guys talked about it, you have to permit your highways with federal funds the same way you've always been doing it. And just for the committee's information, there are over 40 permits, both federal and state, that DOT has to jump through before they can execute the project. So that's a load right there in and of itself. It's just a more of a comment. It's interesting that we're kind of copying federal law for a change to execute something. I mean, we're usually suing them every other day, and now we're taking a page out of their playbook to streamline our operation to be more efficient. If this bill gets going through the process, the question I got to come back to you is, as we look at these material sites on the TAPS corridor, I'm pretty sure that some of those are going to have to be extended for that project for borrow. This bill would streamline that to a degree.
Through the chair, Senator Bishop, yes. With respect to material sites on DNR lands, this bill would streamline that process.
All right, thank you. And one other follow up. I just wanted to make sure that I don't personally know them, but I am familiar with Happy Valley and Franklin Bluffs, and I do know that there are operators that work out of there during hunting seasons with aircraft and guide pack horses, and that would they still be afforded the same courtesies they've got now?
Through the chair, Senator Bishop, yes, we recognize the existing DNR permits and leases there, and the bill provides that those will be transferred over to our airport leasing program, who are very familiar with permitting those types of activities, and so that will be carrying on.
Thank you. That's all, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Bishop. We also have Dick Miles on the Anchorage LIO online. Mr. Miles, would you like to testify, or are you just online to listen?
Yes, Senator, I would like to testify.
Provide your name and for the record, and provide your testimony.
Senator Egan and members of the committee, my name is Dick Miles, and I'm speaking as a private citizen. I have lived in Anchorage for 34 years, and I believe I'm one of the people that Senator Dyson was referring to that has concerns about the bill. I urge the committee to either reject or significantly revise Senate Bill 211, as this legislation does not protect the public interest in state lands. In one section, Section 16 in particular, has concerns and may in fact be unconstitutional. For background, I am currently mostly retired, but I worked with the Department of Natural Resources Division of Mining, Land, and Water for 29 years, where I dealt with many of the issues in this bill. I agree that state land should be used whenever possible to meet the transportation and facility needs of Alaskans. I also agree that the process to transfer state land from DNR to DOT is at times cumbersome, and I'm also aware that DOT is sometimes troubled by decisions made by DNR regarding land desires and the conditions that DNR may attach to the land. However, this legislation removes any discretionary ability by DNR to address public concerns, competing resource interests, and even some valid claims by other parties to the land in question. The bill says what DOT wants, DOT gets. The bill requires that if DOT asks the Commissioner of DNR to transfer a parcel of state land for an airport, road, gravel pit, or other use, DNR will transfer the land within 4 months. The language in Sections 3, Section 5, and Section 8 all says DNR shall transfer these lands that are selected by DOT. This includes gravel or other materials on state lands. Why is this a problem? It is a problem because state land isn't just for transportation uses, and sometimes sites selected by DOT have prior competing land claims or public interests. I'll touch on the issue of prior competing land claims first. This was already mentioned, but the North Slope Borough, for example, has existing selections at Happy Valley and Franklin Bluffs. They also have existing selections on gravel pits near the airport at Dead Horse. I did not have time to check all the state land records to confirm that these selections are still there, but it sounds like they still are. The legislation directs DNR to transfer these parcels to DOT if DOT asks for them, even if the intent of DNR or the legislature is to reject those municipal selections of these lands. 4 months, which is the time frame in the bill, is not adequate time for DNR to issue a decision to reject the North Slope Borough selection, allow for the required public notice and comment, and resolve likely appeals from the municipal government. The state has obligations to fulfill municipal entitlements of other municipalities as well, including some that have interests in lands that DOT has an interest in. For example, the municipality of Anchorage has outstanding rights to certain state lands through an agreement that was reached between DNR and the municipality many years ago, and some of these parcels are parcels that are, for example, adjacent to Anchorage International Airport. They're not currently available to the municipality, but someday in the future they could be. This bill would potentially override some of those provisions. In addition to these concerns, under the existing process, DNR looks at adjacent land uses and access concerns prior to transferring land to DOT. This bill would eliminate this process. For example, DOT applied to DNR for gravel pit at Coldfoot that was adjacent to a residential area. DNR worked with DOT to either find a better site or had the option of conditioning the use of the gravel pit to require DOT to retain buffers or restrict hours of use for the site. DOT was not particularly interested or receptive to these concerns, but because the DNR was the land manager and had to go through a public process, it was able to deal with the local residents' concerns. Under the existing process, DNR can reserve easements for public use through DOT sites to ensure that access is not blocked by public facilities, or even condition a transfer to DOT with the requirement to provide alternative access. Again, under SB 211, it is doubtful that DNR could attach such conditions to the land transfer. Finally, regarding Section 16 of SB 211, it requires special attention by the committee. The reciprocal easements referred to stem from a little-known provision in the Safety Lou Bill. It was referred to. The language in the federal law and Section 16 refer to Map 92337. This map shows approximately 135 public access and log transfer sites on state tidelands that were to be transferred to the Forest Service and returned for a number of transportation and utility corridor easements across Tongass National Forest land. Several years ago, DNR, DOT, and the Forest Service agreed on a public process to establish the easements that would be transferred from the state to the Forest Service. To date, according to DNR, 66 of the 135 sites have been approved, but another 67 have not. Many of these easements that were processed were existing facilities. Many of the easements that have not been processed are potential facilities, and some of these are important public access sites that should remain in state, not Forest Service management. Also, the process required the Forest Service to submit an actual application to DNR to better define the area they wanted, as map 92337 is just a bunch of dots on a map, and I believe they have not applied to DNR for these 67 unprocessed sites. My concern about the constitutionality is that this legislation appears to transfer those remaining 67 sites to the Forest Service with no public involvement or no public notice, as required by Article 8, Section 10 of the Constitution. Finally, regarding the bill generally, the legislation has 2-0 fiscal notes. It is hard to believe that there is no cost to issue these envisioned land transfers, especially the easements under Section 16. As you know, DNR has been trying to reduce its backlog of work. This adds a bunch of work to DNR with no additional resources to address the added workload. I thank you for the opportunity to testify today.
Great. Thank you for your testimony. Mr. Miley's questions for Mr. Miley's from the committee? See none. And just for your information, Dick, this bill will not be moving out today. It will be taken up at a later date again. Further questions of either Mr. Bennett or Mr. Lynch from the committee? Senator Dyson.
Part of me wants to apologize for raising the issue. and part of me doesn't. I really appreciate what I think you're trying to do and how cumbersome the process is and how much it hurts a lot of things that I think almost everyone would agree need to be done. If I was the chairman, I'd ask you to give a brief response to the what we just heard here. And my guess is that I watched your body language, that there are some good answers and so on. But indeed, I'll look forward to you having an opportunity to answer those things that came up. But please don't think of me or my questions as being antagonistic or pejorative. I think I'm really in favor of what you're trying to do. I'm a little concerned about the Franklin Buff and the owners are contentious there. But another day.
Mr. Bennett, Mr. Lynch, briefly.
Mr. Chairman, I would start by saying that the bill, with regard to existing permits, existing leases, existing rights that have been issued by the Department of Natural Resources, this bill protects all valid existing rights. There will be no disruption to those rights by virtue of how we've modified this process. With regard to reducing the administrative overhead, one part is we're saying that DNR, by virtue of transferring these public domain lands to single-purpose government purposes, these transportation uses, they are not required to go through this multiple-use management process. That, I think, is the difference in opinion we would have with Mr. Milius, but I would defer to Mr. Lynch to provide more detail on that.
Thank you, Mr. Lynch.
And so, just on the subject to existing rights, it's actually section 3 of the bill, and again it repeats itself three times, but at page 2 it's lines 29 and 30, the title that is being transferred from DNR to DOT is subject to valid existing rights. So if there is a right in the land, say any right in the land that same right transfers to DOT's title. On the constitutionality of the easements or the workload of transferring the easements, we can have DNR representatives talk to the easements that have been issued, but my understanding of this, and I've worked with the transportation side of these a lot, that the easements that were transferred were for the log transfer facilities, and those required a written recorded easement. But it was a DNR determination made some time back, years back, that the public access easements, trailheads, cabins, that those are regular public access easement, and the Forest Service needed no recorded easement for them. And that's why half of them are recorded and half are not, is there's an administrative determination that the others are those rights exist already to members of the public. And so the exchange of easements has actually been completed. This would allow the commissioner to remove the 55-year limitation, Commissioner of Natural Resources. So I think those address those two.
Great, thank you. I see Deputy Commissioner Fogel is in the audience now. Did you want to testify at all on this? Perfect. We don't have any for you. No. Do you have any questions for the Deputy Commissioner? Senator Faircloth.
Mr. Chairman, it's not necessarily for the Deputy Commissioner, but there's a reason the state put a 55-year limitation, so I'd like to know what that reason was and why it's not valid today.
This is more the bailiwick of DNR, so I'm going from the knowledge of state land management, that the Alaska Lands Act is envisioning the transfer of interest from the state to a third party. Which is really what this bill's the broader purpose is. Alaska Lands Act is a poor fit for transfers, interagency transfers. But that 55-year limitation is that the state does not divest its interest. That there may be another future use. This is the sustainable yield that's required under the Constitution. The reason that the 55-year limitation does not work in this instance is because of the limitation it puts on the state. That if we build roads, in fact, Shelter Cove Road in Ketchikan is really coming into the gates for construction. If, when we're under this 55-year term and we construct the road and utility lines connecting Ketchikan to Shelter Cove, the life of the road is going to exceed 55 years. We really need a better, stronger, longer interest for those infrastructure improvements.
Senator Herrick, I'll have a follow-up.
Mr. Chairman, I just let the committee know that we have another piece of legislation circling that four of us on this committee saw in the resource committee, and that had to do with native land allotments. And so when there's a pre-existing, I noticed that we pointed to valid on page 2, lines line 29, subject to valid, line 30, existing rights. And so I was an amend on that bill because I thought we were – because the verbiage on that bill says all, that we were going to get ourselves into a bee's nest, basically, in mandating something that we can't follow through on. And this is just another layer on top of those transfers. So I just
–
I'll leave it at that, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Senator Dyson.
Yeah, thank you. These 55-year provisions on the easements, forgive my memory, but you know, DNR is working a lot to establish these historic trails, mining trails and roads, and all those kind of things. And what I hear anecdotally but consistently is the state's burden to prove to the feds that those existing right-of-ways are there. The feds seem to not be sympathetic, you know, in granting those, and are more than zealous in pushing, forcing the state to go a long, long ways to establish those. So these easements that we're talking here, are any of them fall into that category of where we're trying to prove and establish these historic routes?
Senator Dyson, through the chair, the easements that are on the map that was included in your packet have been enacted by Congress. And so the odd quirk here is Congress, when they told the Forest Service, you shall give these easements to the state, Congress did not place a 55-year limitation. There was when the easements were prepared, it was a Forest Service determination. And they based it on what Congress granted was a reciprocal easement. And they said, we will give you as much right as you give us. And that's the reciprocal. And it was basically on that analysis that they said, if we have no term of year, because of course the state asked them, they said, you know, 55 years is obviously insufficient. And they said, well, all we need is a longer term, so it's reciprocal, so we're following, they could follow Congress's order.
So the answer to my question is no.
So there is no, and no, there is no time.
Okay, I got it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Great. Further questions for Mr. Lynch before we let him go?
Actually, I guess I have one.
Senator French.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. This occurred to me earlier, and I'm sorry, I forgot. In Section 14 is the provision for the railroad that exempts DOT from needing legislative approval of land transfers. Is that right?
That is correct.
And I guess it's probably, I'll ask, why just DOT? Why not? If the railroad's going to transfer land to another state agency, why not let them do it? Or why just exempt DOT? Why not treat everybody the same, or is there a reason for treating you specially?
Senator French, through the chair, I can tell you the purpose of this provision is when the legislature directs DOT, another example of the Fairbanks Airport, there's an appropriation and a direction to improve the airport. DOT required fee title because of security requirements with FAA. They had to own title to that airport, what it was going to become, airport property. They had to purchase it from the railroad. So in that instance, DOT had to come, or I guess the railroad had to come to the legislature and authorize that, the conveyance of land. I don't know of any other state agency that's in the same position where the legislature is directing them to deliver a project, and they must go out and do what the legislature asked them to do, to, you know, deliver the project. And so this is, it certainly fits with DOT. I can't think of another agency that it fits.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, John, and thank you, Sean, for presenting today. And again, thank you to Dana Owen and Krickelberg and our teleconference operator, Claire Gross. And with nothing further to come before the committee, we're adjourned at 8:30.